Morning. Okay. Good morning.
Morning.
Okay. So, all right. So we're going to continue here on the topic of the Dina de Bar Mitzvah. And as we said, it's unique halacha because the makar of it is Yashav HaToiv. And normally Yashav HaToiv is a nice thing to do. And, you know, if you don't do, you don't do it. But here actually, Beis Din will enforce the Yashav HaToiv, which is a unique case. The Beis Din will say, well, you are over the Yashav HaToiv and we're going to enforce that. And make sure that you do the Yashav HaToiv and give back the property if you bought it incorrectly. So the last couple of weeks we spoke about that.
What's the precedent?
There are very little other places. There are very few other places that you find that. The Magen Mishnah here is Mazvir that it's like by Chol Moed is Machlekes Deraisa that the Torah was Nasan Biyad Chachamim to determine what's called a Malacha for Chol Moed. So he says it was Nasan Biyad Chachamim to determine what's called Yashav HaToiv for this purpose.
Just here.
And this is, I don't know where, I mean, I don't know about English, which one.
There are such things that are communal.
Chachamim have power to determine it, but it's still, I don't know that other places, they're going to enforce it. Like B'dievid, you didn't do the Yashav HaToiv. So, you know, we find, let's say, Ani Mahapich B'charar Nikra Rasha. So, you know, we're going to learn about that also, because you can't talk about real estate and not talk about that. But so you know you took something that someone else wanted, right? So Nikra Rasha. So what's the ramifications of Nikra Rasha? They're gonna announce in Beis Din that this guy's a Rasha, you know, but it's not, there's nothing to do about it. This, they're gonna go to Beis Din and take away the house from the Lokech and give it back to the Barmat, to the Matzvah, to the neighbor, right? So it's a much bigger chiddush in that sense. So we talked about the parameters and we talked about some of the cases. Last week we talked about the fact that we don't, that this din is a din on the buyer. The buyer needs to back off in respect for the neighbor. It's not a din in the seller. But, and we talked about last week, Alpha, because of that, there are cases where the seller would lose out because of the din of metra. So therefore we waive the halacha based on the fact we don't protect the seller. So this week I want to talk about more exceptions to the rule in terms of, are there certain types of sales or certain types of people that are not subject to the Dina de Bar Mitzvah? So we start from the Gemara, as always. So there's a Gemara here that says, on Kof Chesam Ad Beis B'Metzia, that's line 20, page 2 in the booklet, line 20. So it's one line in the Gemara. Every line in the Gemara here is a whole bunch of Seifim Shulchan Aruch. Every line is broken down into, it's amazing. So the Gemara says here, Leisha uliyasmi uleshutfi less ba mishum dina de bar mitzvah. So a person selling to an isha, to a woman, to a yasom. So if the buyer is a woman, if the buyer is a yasom, or if the buyer is a shutif of yours, is a partner of yours, less ba mishum dina de bar mitzvah. There is no dina de bar mitzvah over here. So let's go to shutfi later. Let's first start with isha and yasmi. So what does this mean if the buyer is a woman or a yasim? There's no dina de bar mitzvah. So the machlokes is showing him what's pshat. So let's see Rashi. Rashi says that it's not the derech of an isha, it's not the derech of a yasim to go around and look for property. What's the whole Yashav HaToiv? The Yashav HaToiv is that the neighbor says, look, buyer, why do you have to buy this property? You could buy any property. I want this property. I'm the neighbor. But Zokt Chazal say, no, but that's not a good taina against an isha or a yasim. Because the isha and the yasim are not supposed to go around and look around for properties everywhere. They found this one. For whatever reason, this one came to him. He's a yasim. What are you going to do? You're going to go push him to another property? Where else? This is, he's not, the derech of the yasim is not to go find other places. The derech of the isha is not to go and find other places to find property. So therefore, she found this one. It's the derech of the isha is to protect her from having to go and make other deals. And therefore, there's no Yashav HaToiv in the sense of letting the neighbor go first. That's how Rashi learns. Ulvakish Mishesha Kakal Umasha Bol the other Rishine Ain Lonu Loima Vasisa Yoshiva Toy Lachikoi me Olav. The first wide line in Rashi there. The Chen Yasmi. So that's how Rashi learns. It's not Yashar V'tov. It's not the right thing to make a woman or a Yosam go find another property elsewhere. Okay? That's Rashi. And that's also the Ramban. The Balamar uses this Gemara as a precedent for a very important halacha, which we'll get back to at the end. But he uses this Gemara, he says a little bit of a different twist on it. He says the pshat in this Gemara is because if you don't let the Yosam and the Isha take this property, they're going to be left without a home. They're going to be left without a place to be. So since they're going to be left without a place to be, you have to let them have it. And says the Balmor, this is a precedent that any case where the buyer has nowhere to go other than this house, then that trumps the bar, the matzron, and we would let the buyer buy it in, even against the matzron because he has nowhere else to go. So that's a very important halacha because now we're going to have to figure out what does it mean nowhere else to go? This is the only house in the market. I mean, that's going to open up a lot of...
Is that only way an Isha has the right? I mean, what if she's buying it as an investment property? I mean, I don't know what Isha is.
Right. So right now, we don't know who the Isha is. It's just an Isha that doesn't have anywhere that you know, wants to buy the property, presumably to live in. Now,
according to Balmor, Isha doesn't have a place to live.
Right. According to Balmor, the assumption is Isha and Yasmi don't have a place to live. Now, I want to get back to this later at the end because this is the most nogea, one of the most nogea halachas in Bar Mitzvahs that a lot of times the lokach will say, well, I need this house because don't tell me, go somewhere else. There's nowhere else to go. So we'll get back to that at the end. I'm just throwing that in now. That's the way the Balmor learns. But that's not the Pashup Shah. Now, some want to use this inyan of the Isha as a major loophole in the whole Bar Mitzvah. Because if we look at the Ramah, how this is brought down, okay? So let's look in the Ramah. It's in Sif Mem Zayin, which is on in the booklet. It's on page 88. So the Shulchan Aruch brings this din. Hamoicha leisha ol yisaimim ktanim. The Mechaber brings this down, page 88, Sif Mem Zayin, Kuf Ayin Hay Sif Mem Zayin. So he says, Hamoicha leisha ol yasmi ktanim, ein boy mishum dina de bar metra. What about Sufik Isha Tumtum Andragonus? Okay, fine. Vidavka Isha Sheshla Nechasim Yeduim. It's talking about that she's using her own money. Now, if you look in the Ramah, the second to last line, it says, Kansahi Ubaila Biyachar. What if she and her husband buy it together? So it's a joint title, she and the husband. Ein Yechoilim Lasalik Afilu Habal. You can't even get rid of the husband. So that means, now, that would mean that any house, residential property, which is a point bought in joint title, which is everything, right? 99% in what? Which legally would have to be that way?
No, but because a homestead, you want to do it the way other states don't care so much.
Right. So, the few real estate attorneys that I've spoken to said, almost every single real estate transaction on residential properties is done husband and wife joint title. So if you would read this Ramah literally, so if it's joint title, then that's in the first Ramah. So you're done. So the whole bar mitzvah would be out the window. Just put the wife on the title, and now ein yachol masalka seisha. Now this is taking a backwards yashar v'tov here. You're using a loophole against the whole idea of the isha was look. We're here to be Yashar V'tov. You have to have Rachmanas. You have to have Yashar V'tov on the Isha, against the neighbor. So what's this guy doing? He's making a loophole so he doesn't have to worry about the Yashar V'tov on the neighbor now. I mean, there's no logic to that. So the Sma does add some, but you know, so I asked a few Dayanim, and no one really ever heard of this being used as in Beis Din as a loophole against the Dina de Bar Mitzvah nowadays. So there's a few reasons for that. One is if you look at the Sma on the inside column, the Sma says in Ois Pei Vav, it says, Pirish, V'yadua she'esh la mamayin bifnei atzma. She'ein yecholim l'salka. So she's using her own money. So that's not normally the case. I don't know if that's normally the case, using her own money. I don't know what that means, her own money. I mean, she has her own Yerusha that she got from her. I mean, normally it's not the case of her own money. Number two is it means, I don't exactly know what this means, but in today's society where it's just a legal point that we're putting her on the title. The bottom line is that it's really, she's just doing it as with the husband. And if she doesn't have, if she doesn't find the house, who's going to go look for it? She's not going to go look for it. The husband's going to go continue. She has a
place to live. Not her,
she has a husband. She has a husband that is going to protect her from, she has a husband that's going to go find a house for her. And she's buying it with the husband. She's not buying a separate property without the husband.
So she's never been good there.
Why wouldn't children have parents? You say don't have parents.
Because they have their parents to watch out for them. So the wife is buying it with her husband.
That's the point. So I don't know what the case of the Rama is. Katsahiu Baila Biyachad. It sounds like Katsahiu Baila Biyachad, but they're buying it. I don't exactly know what the Shalom Bayis is over there in that case. I don't know if it's a normal case. The cases today that we deal with is not considered a case of an Isha buying property. It's considered a case of the husband buying property, or the Baal is she has a husband to make sure that if she, this doesn't work out, he's going to go and find another property for them to live. And therefore, most Dayanim that I heard of either never have never used this in practice in Beis Din to avoid or to trump the din of Bar Mitzvah. But it's definitely an interesting point. What?
Does that mean that the husbands and wives shouldn't have separate bank accounts? Because that would be the situation where the woman has her own money.
She has her own money, but is that the money that's being used to buy this house, or that's just to own money because husband doesn't want to have the pain of seeing the credit card every month? that's like the pshat is, okay, you know, you take your expenses and whatever, but when it comes to buying a home, I don't know if she's using that money that she's making, you know, but you know.
So today
it's much less of a sensitivity to this point. That's why I think for sure a couple that happens to be that the wife is there, it doesn't make sense. You know, I could understand it in the case you have a mana, you have a case where a woman's living on her own and she finally found a home to live in. You're going to say, no, the bar mitzvah comes first. I understand. But in the typical scenario, to use this as a loophole against it would be, I think, misuse of the interpretation of the halacha.
Well, they said Yisabim Katani. How old are we talking about?
That they are not financially capable of making they're not financially independent. So if they have money from the Yerusha, there's probably an apotropos. What's an apotropos? How do you translate that?
A trustee
watching over their money or distributing their funds for them. They're not independently financially independent. That's what that means. A person that, you know. That's halacha on that statement, okay? Now, the next din is very interesting. So the next word is also the next word. Leisha uliyasmi, fine, that we just covered, the first two words. The last word, uleshutfi. Shutfim do not have bar mitzvah. So shutfim are not subject to the din of dina de bar mitzvah. Okay? So that means that what does that mean? What does that mean? A shutf is a partner. So Rashi says that what it means is we are partners in a property. So Reuben and Shimon, we've been talking the whole time that there's Reuben and Shimon, right? Reuben is the neighbor, Shimon is the seller, and Levi wants to come and buy it. So now, what Rashi says, well, what are we talking about? That a shutif is not subject to bar mitzvah. What does that mean? So Rashi says the case is that Reuben and Shimon, they don't live next door to each other. They're actually partners in the property. They're 50-50 partners. And now Shimon wants to sell out his portion. Now Levi, the potential buyer that we've been talking about this whole time, Levi actually, in this case, lives next door too. So now you have a case, Levi lives next door. So he's a matron, theoretically. But Reuben is a partner in the property. So he owns 50% of the property. Anyone that's doing daf yomi is all chakir. Exactly. What does it mean? He's a shutif in the property. The first ran there in a shutif. So, but he's a partner in the property. So it says the Gemara, if he's a partner in the property, then he has precedent over any other neighbor. Because he's not just a neighbor, he's in the property, he's mamash there. So since he's mamash has 50% of the property, we allow him to take precedent over anybody else, to buy out his partner's portion, which seems to be davar mistaver. So if it goes up for sale, the partner would have the first right to buy it over anybody else. That's how Rashi learns this Gemara. Okay? Now, if you see the Rashi inside, first white line says, Shutif Shemocha Loi Lechaveiroi Chelkoi Besade Shein Shutfim Ba Ein Lanu Lesalkoi Mishum Dina De Bar Metzah. I don't want to get so involved, but for those that are picked up on the nuance of Rashi, Rashi says, Ein Lanu Lesalkoi, we don't get rid of him because of Dina De Bar Metzah. It would sound like from Rashi, though, that if he buys it, we don't get rid of it. But let's say the Bar Metz, the Levi, the neighbor bought it, we wouldn't get rid of the neighbor either. The Rosh argues on that, and the Rosh says that no matter what, we always give it to them, even if after the fact. So Levi's a neighbor, and he bought out Shimon's portion in this property, still we would give it to Reuven over Levi. We would actually remove the Bar Metzah and give it to the Shutif, not like Rashi. And that's Paschal the Shulchan Aruch. The place is the Lashon is Shutif Adif Mimatzron. Shutif, a neighbor, Adif Mimatzron, is better than the neighbor. And even if the neighbor would have bought it already, we would give it to the Shutif. Okay. But there's an unbelievable Chiddush. There's an unbelievable Chiddush here, which I really don't understand it that well. Rabbi Kalani claims he understands that. So. But we were fighting about this, trying to understand the din. Rabbeinu Tam says a new pshat on this Gemara. He says this, that a neighbor is better than a partner is better than a neighbor is obvious. That's not the chiddush here. Oh, by the way, this idea that the partner is better than the neighbor, the question is, what about by non-karka? We said there's only Dina de Bar Metzah. The whole idea of Bar Metzah, which is that we give an advantage to the neighbor, only applies by real estate. Right? What about by metalfalin, by non-real estate? So there's no Dina de Bar Metzah or whatever that would mean. So what about if you're a partner in a boat? You're a partner in a boat with someone, and you want to sell out your portion. You have to sell it to your partner first.
Or a business.
What?
Or a business. Any business venture that you have, same
question. Isn't that like an unwritten rule? Like
so the SMA brings down, if we look here, it's interesting. So the SMA brings, it's in Sif Nun, in the Shulchan Aruch, which is on page, no, it's not in Sif Nun. It's on Sif Nun Gimel, which is page 92. So it says, B'chol karkoi sheba'olam, yesh din matronos, aval metaltalin ain din matronos. There's no din matronos on metaltalin, on movable items. What would that mean? So it means in a case of a neighbor, that we don't, a partner. We don't give a partner a precedent in non-real estate. We don't give him any advantage, the partner. But the SMA writes, that's only if the Bezdin sees that the potential partner could get along with anybody. But if the potential partner really cares about who's buying the other half, then, you know, even if it's not on the Bar Mitzvah, but just, it's not, like you said, it's an unwritten rule that we were kind of given that precedent. But you know where it comes up is, let's say you only have a timeshare. So it's really not nogea to you who the other person is. You're never using it together with the other guy. So there, let's say you have a timeshare on something, on some a boat or something like that. So who owns the other shares doesn't really come into your, it's not a mila for you or chisar, it doesn't make a difference to you. So we wouldn't give, if he wants to sell out his portion, the you as a partner would not necessarily have an advantage over anybody else.
And our partners.
What?
By definition, a timeshare is only your chalik.
When it's during that time.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's some sort of shutfis in general in the ownership, maybe. You know.
Not really.
Okay, I don't know exactly, but I'm saying if you have a case of a shutfis where something like that you're using it, your use is completely independent of the other person. It's not like a business where you're running it together and all the decisions have to be made together and you have to actually work with the other person. So there.
But you also care that they maintain it. They ruin the building and you don't get to your seat.
Right.
So two people bought a house together and they take time using it. So there you really care.
Yeah, there you're, because there you have to make business decisions right, together as well. Right.
You and him
and also you bought it together. You're maintaining it. You're responsible. There's no outside party maintaining it. Okay. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam says a very, very big chiddush, which, again, it's hard to understand. He says that when we say here that when you sell to a shutif, to a partner, you don't have to worry about the matzah and about the neighbor, it's referring to a partner that you have in other businesses. not to the partner in this property. It means if you have a partner that you do business with elsewhere, you own this company with this other partner, you do that with this other, you have four other businesses, and you have a partner that you do all your business with, and then you own this house independently. If you then go and Reuven goes and this puts up the house for sale, well, Shimon puts up the house for sale, and Reuven is his neighbor, and Reuven, right? If Shimon's partner in other businesses, Levi's his partner in other businesses, wants the house, Shimon is allowed to sell it to the partner, and the partner is allowed to buy it, and that would trump the Dina de Bar Metzra. This is Rabbeinu Tam's Chiddush. It's a big Chiddush because what does that have to do with this property? Your neighbor somewhere else, so that gives me an advantage. So the
sibling is better than that.
What?
I think a sibling is better.
Yeah, but
than
sibling
that.
Is not better than that.
I know. I don't think.
Right. So I think that the shot that was suggested maybe is that this is considered l'toivas the moicher. This is considered something which is a benefit to the seller, because the seller knows and trusts and is accustomed to doing business with this guy. He's been a partner with him for 30 years and everything they do. So you throw this onto the list and just sell it to him, and you already have your attorneys in place. Everything is normal. You already know who you're dealing with, and you don't mind selling him the property. But to go ahead and start another transaction with the neighbor, maybe you're not as nachas to do that. So therefore, maybe that's the svara. But none of the rishonim, none of them say anything. But this is we paskin like this Rabbeinu Tam in Shulchan Aruch. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down. So I think it's a very big chiddush. It's in Mem Tes, which is on page 89. So he says, "Hamoicher le'echad min hashutfin shaloi b'masa umata." If you sell, Shimon sells a property to his partner in business. Afal pi she'ino shutfa b'karka. He's not even a real estate partner with you anywhere else. Zocha boy, he gets it. Ve'ein shar shutvin o shar b'nei ha-meitzar noitlin imoy, and no one else can have a portion in the property. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan does say that this is only talking about after the fact. If the partner bought it, we don't give the matzon a right to remove him after the fact. But if the matzon comes to Beis Din first, before the sale, we would give it to the matzon. That's Aruch HaShulchan's chiddush, because he's medayik. It only says ein noitlin imoy. It sounds like after the fact. But it's not Pashuk Pshat, but this is what Aruch HaShulchan wants to say, as a kind of limiting the right of this name, of this Shutif, saying that it's only if the Shutif bought it already. But L'chatchila, we would not do that. L'chatchila, we would give it to the Matzah, but that's not what it says here.
Once again, they're a partnership. So many different kinds of structures and partnerships and percentages, like anyone you do business with.
Right, I mean, you're
used to dealing with the guy, you have the same forms, the same
attorney. I understand, but so many people have so many different sorts of partnerships are involved in. Like, right. Silent partner, limited partners, you know. So
what?
You can create a partnership in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Business with a guy
from everyone has 100 level seats, you know.
Right.
Criteria of an established business.
I don't know.
Also, is it always pushing
that? And that also really depends. I'm sorry, it depends if that's the logic. Maybe that's not the svara. I mean, maybe the svara is that you're getting a certain tervis hana out of it. You know, if you tell your partner, you know, so then he's gonna, maybe there's an advantage to the seller, you know.
But that has to trump the CISO.
You don't have to make a last thing?
For a matzah.
Right. Hmm?
No. What if he's not a partner, but he's somebody you always sell to? He's always your buyer. For some people, they always go to him to buy it. It's not a
part. No. That right. Okay. So you're saying that any property I don't know if that would. I don't know where that comes in.
Some brokers, they always have a buyer.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if that would work in this case. I don't know if that would work. But this is another exception to the rule that's Paskin Shulchan Aruch, and the parameters, like you guys are all saying, I don't see the Paiskim don't really expound on it. And it also leaves a lot of room for things like you were saying, when the seller has a different distinct advantage in selling it to someone else, like your relative. We don't say that a relative comes first. So there is one exception, by the way, not a relative, but a son. The Shach brings down, if you look in page 83, the Shach does bring down on the top left corner, he says, He says, "Tarchli in ledina beechad shemachar karka shaloi lebenoi." Bob alametzel salku yachol salku da ben yachol lemar zeu yoise yoshev atoyim shani machzik achuzas avoysai. This is the house that I grew up in. This is my father's home, and now he's leaving. They're leaving town. My parents are leaving town, but they want to sell it to me, and they want the son to take over their home or their sader yerusha savoysav. So the shach paskins that it's yoise yoshev atoyim. The yoshev atoyim to allow it to stay in the family is stronger than the yoshev tov to give it to the neighbor. What's Chach says? So, you know, that, yes, but to give it to an uncle because, you know, hey, I want to sell it to my relative. No, that doesn't work. It's just a son is a special case. Even a sibling wouldn't work. It has to be Yerusha's Avaisav specifically. Right. So, you know, so yeah. Now,
if there are no sons, so we'll go to the next day?
Probably.
If there are no sons. So then he's
going
to the next
year. Okay, I don't know. Fine, maybe the Yerush. But I don't know if that's Benokar. I don't know if it's Yerusha here. I think it's like. Right, something that will keep it in the family, you know, under the family, you know, name.
Is there always a question that a Matsu will block a sale before it happens? Or is it only after the fact? They could be.
No, I think his rights are greater usually before than after. There are cases that we.
What if he changes his mind? Like, what if there's a matzah that whenever there's a buyer, he comes and he says, I want to buy it. So that, forget it. The other guy got cold feet, so he's out of the picture. Then they put the property back up on the market.
This is what we brought up the other day. That's going to call off the. It's going to the seller will lose out because it's going to end up causing people not to want to buy the house. You know.
It's only 24 hours.
Like, yeah, he doesn't have. You know, his window.
24 hours.
What is? No, after the fact, it's only 24 hours.
Before, so you have to bring the money, the time to close it is.
Okay,
hey,
that's
no, it's going to
close
tomorrow. You can't.
Okay, well, to close tomorrow, that's not the what the normal case. The normal case is you're in contract, you know. But like this case, the Archer Shochet says there are a lot of cases that the matzon's rights are greater before the sale than after. That lechatchila we would give it to the matzon, but with the evidence, he can't be masalik. There are cases like that.
If a property is owned by a corporation or a trust or something like that, the Torah. Views at the that they look at the behind the trust or the corporation. Or
that's a whole separate sugya. That's a whole sugya by itself. It's the chametz on Pesach. It's the get to a lot of different things. You know, if you work on Shabbos, you know that idea of a business run owned by a corporation. How do we do that? What's real? Is there like is it divorced from the owners or not? It's a complicated sugya. But I think in this type of case where it has to do with the behavior. Of the not the true ownership, it's just no more like the behavior of the owner. I would think that it will be subject to this as well. Okay, I still want to cover three more cases. Okay, three more lines in the Gemara. But each line over here is okay. So let's go back to the Gemara on page 2. So the next line in the Gemara is an interesting halacha. It says on page line 21 on page 2, it says Shechene Ha'ir. I'm just going to read the whole Gemara because that case is complicated. Shachin v'tamar chacham. So you have one person's a shachin, one person's tamar chacham. Tamar chacham koidim. Tamar chacham comes first. Now we have to know what that means. Koroy v'tamar chacham. You have a relative and a tamar chacham. Tamar chacham koidim. You give it to the tamar chacham. Iboilu. Shachin v'koroy v'mai. Toiv shachin koroy v'me'ach rachog min shachin is better. So what is this Gemara talking about? So the simple reading of the Gemara, let's take the case of Tamar Chacham v'Shachin. So it says Tamar Chacham Koidim. So does that mean that you have our case, you have Reuven and Shimon, Reuven is the neighbor, the Shachin, and you have Tamar Chacham Levi as a Tamar Chacham, he wants to go ahead and buy the property. So we're going to say he's allowed. That's what the Gemara is supposed
over
to say.
Over the relative?
Forget the relative for a second, over the neighbor.
Over the neighbor.
So says Rashi, Rashi has a great kasha on this. How could that be? Rashi is Rashi says I guess it's 8 lines down in the wide lines here. So Rashi is towards the end of the line. Rashi says Visud the Ka'amar Shachin the Tamil Chacham, Tamil Chacham Koidim. So how could I Hai Shachin Matsranu? If the neighbor we're talking about is a Matsran, he was lounge next door. My Tamar Chacham Koidim. Why should a Tamar Chacham come first? Tamar Chacham Lav Bar Asisav Yashav HaToivu, but Tamar Chacham doesn't have to do Yashav HaToiv. The whole idea is that the buyer is supposed to stay away. Forget the seller. The seller has a mitzvah to do business with Talmid Chacham, help the Talmid Chacham. That's great from the seller. But the buyer has a mitzvah to look out for the neighbor. So Talmid Chacham is exempt. Yeah, I don't have to do Yashav HaTov. Everyone has to do Yashav HaTov to me, but I don't have to do Yashav HaTov to them.
It
should be the opposite. How could it be, says Rashi, that there will be an exemption on the bar mitzvah for Talmid Chacham? It doesn't make sense. The whole idea is Yashav HaTov. Of course the Talmid Chacham has to do Yashav HaTov. So he for sure has to let the neighbor go first.
Isn't Yashav HaTov what's good for the community as a whole?
No, but it's the responsibility of the buyer to be sensitive to the need of the neighbor. So that responsibility should apply to a Talmid Chacham as well. That's Rashi's kasha. Right? That's a great, I love that. That line, it's a good line. So that's how Rashi explained. Rashi, because of that kasha, basically says, no, that's not pshat of the Gemara. And it's a little bit of a doichik. But Rashi introduces here, this Gemara, is a new concept completely. Let's say there's no neighbor. There's no neighbor, okay? There's no neighbor at all. And I'm selling a property. But this is my vacation home But I live somewhere else, okay? And in my hometown where I live, I have a neighbor, right? Up north, I have a neighbor that, would also want a house in Florida, right? I have a neighbor up in New York that wouldn't mind the house in Florida. But there's a Talmid Chacham that wants this house in Florida. Neither one is the matzor. So there's a brand new sugya now. It's a brand new sugya, which it's a little bit funny because there's no precedent for this at all. Like, what's the sugya? But basically, I have a house to sell. Now Shimon is selling a house. There's no neighbors. Shimon is selling a house, and he has two choices of a potential buyer. He could sell it to his neighbor up in New York, who's, you know, he owes favors to, or he could sell it to Talmid Chacham. That's what the Gemara is saying. Shakim, Talmid Chacham Koidim. That you should sell out to Talmid Chacham. And then the whole din is on the seller now. It's a whole different sugya. The din is on the seller. And it's like, it's a toiva kamashwan, you should give it to Talmid Chacham. What? What's the mile of a shakin according to this? You may not even know. What? Right. I'm saying coming off of the sugya of shutvim, where we respect the relationship you have with the shutif, so it could be that you have to respect the relationship you have with your neighbor to a certain degree. So now Rashi's creating a new sugya here, which is a little funny in the hemshech of the davar, but in the hemshech of the sugya, because it's out of context then, and it's like a brand new idea, which we don't really have any precedent for, but a guy selling a house, derech eretz, sell it to the Talmid Chacham over your neighbor that you live with elsewhere. Yeah, if not a Talmid Chacham, you should sell it to your neighbor. Just not gonna sell it to your neighbor because you owe him favors. And what about then the Gemara says, what about a shochin and a karav? Then you say to the shochin, what about a karav and a Talmid Chacham? See, that Gemara is good like Rashi because karav and Talmid Chacham sounds like neither is a neighbor. So karav and Talmid Chacham, you should give it to the Talmid Chacham over the relative. That's what the Gemara is saying. So that's a chiddush in that case. You have a house to sell, and Talmid Chacham wants it, then if Talmid Chacham comes over the neighbor. But then the Gemara makes sense. It's just, it's a chiddush. But this is actually paskin in Shulchan Aruch this way, according to Rashi's pshat. Rashi's pshat is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. If you take a look, it's in Sif Nun, I believe. Yeah, page 90.
It sounds like
Shachin
over there doesn't mean
that
he's a bar
mitzvah. He's not a
matron.
He's the
bar mitzvah of your own property.
Oh, it could be he just lives down the block.
It's better than a
car. That's what it sounds like, yeah. So look at the Shachin brings this down in Sif Nun in page 90. So he says, Kol aroit to limkar karka. I want to sell a property. Ubo shnayim. And two people come. Neither is the matron. Kol echad mehem oimer. Ani ekach bedamim elu. And they're willing to pay the same price. Neither is the Baal Meitzar. So you would think now, why does the Torah or Chazal even have an opinion about this? Why is this even okay? So he says, Im haya ha'echan miyoshvei ha'ir, v'ha'echan mishteni ha'sadeh. One lives in the city, one lives somewhere else. Shochin ha'ir koidim. Okay. Shochin v'tamachachim, tamachachim koidim. Korah v'tamachachim, tamachachim koidim. Shochin v'korev, shochin koidim. But in this case, there's no matronos. So kodim echan mein v'kana, zocha. This din is only lechatchila. In other words, when they're both coming to sell, who should you sell it to? But b'di'evit, if you sold it to one over the other, it's not enforceable in court. No. It's not enforceable in court. This is just a lechatchila, good idea. Good,
it's also interesting, earlier on, he says you should sell it to the Pnei Ha'ir. That means if you're selling the north of my beach, You should sell it to somebody else, not somebody from New York who's an investor.
Right.
First so often
here.
Right.
First Bill's just nodding his head. On the recording, it's coming out as you're saying that, not me. So
it sounds like it could be machlekes. There's two cases where you sell it to a talmid chacham instead of a karav.
Yeah.
Right. So the karav could be very upset with you. Not you could create problems with the family. You know, I can imagine.
Amazing. Give me $10 more.
That's what it's saying. I can't read it. I have no other way of reading. I mean, that's what it says.
Yeah, I hear what it says.
It's a chiddush, yeah. Yeah, it's a chiddush.
You don't
want
to like this. Right. It's a perk of being a
Talmid. So that's interesting. Not another. And a neighbor is only someone you have shaykhis to, right?
Yeah,
right. So that's the other thing is, I wasn't going to get into that, but you know, you have to know, it may not be so posh, what's considered Talmid Chacham. Okay.
Does it go to a bigger Talmid Chacham?
Right. I don't say that. You're going to start, you know, your real estate, you know, your real estate attorney has to have a boychan on staff, you know. Okay, that's one halacha. Okay, next halacha. Yeah, we still there's a few more halachas here. So the next halacha is on the next halacha is on the next page in the Shulchan Aruch. So what's the next page in the Shulchan Aruch? Sorry, it's not on the next page. So back to the Gemara because everything comes from the Gemara. So we can go back to the Gemara first. So the Gemara says it's on page 2 again. It's on line 30, 2, the first wide line. No, it's not there. Sorry. No, it's on line 34. It says, Ara Labati Va'ara Lazara. Very important Gemara here. One person is buying the land, Labati. One person, not the neighbor, not the Matron, is buying the land, Labati, to build homes on it, to build a home on it for himself. Va'ara, the neighbor, is buying it, Lazara, to plant on it. Okay, so it's a sada, it's an open field, and he's buying it. The neighbor wants, look, the neighbor lives next door, he has tomatoes next door. He wants to buy the field next door to now grow more tomatoes or grow cucumbers. Someone else wants to buy the property to build a home on it. So he's not the neighbor. So now we're getting involved in the use that last week we talked about what type of use does the matron want to, you know, have to get a schus. But we're assuming now the matron is using it for a schus. It's connected to his property, and he's going to make a bigger field, and he's going to use it lazara, and that's fine. But the outside Levi, our Levi here, that's the lokeach, the Levi guy's been trying to buy a house for like 6 weeks already. And so Levi is looking for a house, and he wants to build on there. So the Gemara says, Ara Adif, Yishuv Adif. So we would give it to Levi if he's trying to buy a house, to build a house on it, over the matzon who's using it for Zera to plant. And the reason is, quote, Yishuv Adif.
By the way, nowadays it's not gay because people always buy houses next door to put up tennis courts. In other words, no one's planting tomatoes in a residential area, but they will buy the house next door and knock it down.
Okay, so right, so that was more like that was like right. So that was if he's using it as a non, you know, it could be it's subject to bar mitzvah, but if the other guy actually wants to live in the home, right, maybe that's better. Okay, good, exactly. So he wants to use it for a non-living use, and this guy wants to use it as a living use. So the living use would push up shot the way you read the Gemara is Yishuv Adif. Okay, and again, Rashi says. It's the fourth to last line on the page. Yishuv debati adif. Rashi says lebezdin v'loy tiknu kana sois yosher v'toyv shazu toyv amizu. It's better to have people living in homes than people having bigger fields. Yeah, that's fine. Now, the Rosh comes along, and the Rosh somehow. What? Doesn't sound like it. I don't know, they didn't have such strict zoning rules then. Residential use, planting use. Guy wants to live there. I mean, so I hear what you're saying, but Now, the Rosh comes up with a chiddush nifla over here that, and it's nifla because it's like there's no remez to it in the Gemara. So it's on page 5, it's the Rosh. It's on the first column, right before Oislam Adala, it's the end of Oislam Gimel. So he says, Ara Lazara v'ara Labati, this Gemara, Yishuv Adif, it's better to sell it to the person that's going to live in the home, v'les b'mishum dina de bar metzah, and it's not subject to bar metzah, to bar aval l'no'ita ilonais. Oh, but if the guy wants to plant trees in it, you're a dechash of mibati. That's better than a home. The Gemara is only talking about planting cucumbers. But are you going to plant trees? Trees is more chashav than the home. So first of all, what does that mean? Second of all, what's the logic here? What?
Very green.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So
he gets priority.
What?
He gets priority.
So first of all, what's the level of his priority? Second of all, why is he saying this? So if we go look in Shulchan Aruch, how this is brought down, we're going to paskin like the Rosh. But it's brought down with an explanation. So it's an unbelievable rush because you read the Gemara, you have no remez to this. It's like Yishuv Adif and Yishuv Adif, and you're better to live in homes than to plant stuff. And no, trees are a lot better than cucumbers. It's like a very interesting rush.
Better than houses.
Right. So if you look on page 78 in the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Chavav, so it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. This is Paskin Shulchan Aruch. The buyer wants to build a home on it. But the Matzron Roitzel Lezoira. He wants to plant Halokeach Zoicha Mishum Yishuv Haaretz. Ve'ein Badin Bametzra. Now, is anyone here enough of a daikon to medayik? What did the Shulchan Aruch say differently than the Gemara?
Yishuv Haaretz.
Yishuv Haaretz. He didn't say Yishuv. The Gemara says Yishuv. Yishuv Aretz. Yishuv Adif. Yishuv just means living is better than planting. He doesn't say it. It says Yishuv Aretz. Settling the land is better. Now, usually Yishuv Aretz is in the context of Eretz Yisrael. But of course, this doesn't mean just Eretz Yisrael. It means even Chutzar. So what's Yishuv Aretz? So here, so because of that extra word, which is a word in the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch means something different than we explained, and that's where the trees comes in. The Sma explains that what he's saying is, the reason why housing was better than planting is not because we care where people live more than where they plant. Look, you need a place to plant, it's your parnasa. So it's also important. The pshat is because it's considered a more temporary use of the land. You're not really using the land to its fullest potential. It's a very temporary use. Now you decide you want it for cucumbers. Maybe next year you're going to change your mind and you're going to put a soccer field there. We don't know. It's not a permanent use. And therefore, Yishuv Haaretz, when you're going to actually, something that you're doing, which is a more fixed use of the land, like putting a home up, that's chashivas. That's more important. It's not because the use of living is more important than the use of planting. It's because it's more chashivas to the use of
trees are not.
Trees are considered more permanent than the homes.
Or just even equal.
Yeah.
Or equal. Because the guy is a
monster. Right. So trees was considered more permanent than the homes. That's what the Rosh is saying. Trees last forever. You could have trees that are 300 years old. If you have a house that's 300 years old, it's like a. You go to a forest, this forest has been here a lot longer than a lot of the homes, right? And the homes that were built then are not here anymore, but the trees still may be. So the Rosh is saying that a tree is considered as strong of a use of the land as a home. That's what he means.
It's the Rosh, you should have something to do with people.
Correct.
Place to live.
It has to do with what's a better use of the land. But and it's not even Eretz Yisrael. You know, that's considered a more kavodic use of the land. That's his shot. Now, what does it mean that we respect the use of the trees? So this is a major machloikis between the Sma and the Taz. The Sma says it means literally, if Levi wants to put a tree there, it's so much more, we would even use Levi's schus to put a tree there is going to be greater than Reuven's right to build a home. Meaning Levi's right, Levi's use to put a tree there is going to trump the matzron. That's how important it is. That just like if Levi's from the outside and he wants to build a home, he trumps the neighbor wants to plant. So if Levi wants to put a tree and the guy next door wants to build a house, that will trump him.
What about a tree and a home?
Tree and a home.
Tree and a home.
Yeah. So the Taz says, one second, so every this is the forget the wife. Last till now we said that the best loophole is just put your wife on the deed. Right. I have a much better loophole. Get a landscaper to put a tree in their plans. Oh, I'm putting a tree in. That's it. I'm part of my mitzvah. Says the Taz says you can't do that. This is impossible. So he says, so the Taz says it doesn't mean that. The Taz says what it means is that if the neighbor wants to, Reuben wants to plant a tree there, then he would maintain his matzron rights over Levi, even though Levi wants to put a home there. That's what it means. In other words, as the neighbor who wants to put a tree there maintains his matzron rights over someone that wants to come in outside and put a home. But just because you want to put a tree there doesn't mean you could trump the matzron. I think that's much more mustaver like that. So that's the Yesh Mishoimer. Okay. So it's a suffix in the Shulchan Aruch. How the psak come out in Lamaisa would be interesting. But this is also very fascinating. So yeah. Okay, so the last thing you're going to have to wait till next week, but the last thing I want to talk about, just to introduce the concept, was we mentioned at the way beginning of this year, we have to go back to it next week, which is, what would happen if the buyer has nowhere else to live, which I think is considered a common case. The buyer, there's very few houses on the market, this is a unique house for whatever reason. And since there's very few houses on the market, maybe the Yashav HaTov is, instead of letting the neighbor buy himself house number two, even if it's going to make his house better and everything we talked about last week, maybe it's more Yashav HaTov to allow a local resident who doesn't have anywhere to live, meaning he's only renting, he doesn't own a house, maybe it's more Yashav HaTov to allow him to get his primary residence, to get his first home. Now, they said, go buy somewhere else. I can't buy somewhere else. There's nowhere else to buy. I don't know what that means. Or there's no similar house to buy. Okay? Like in Eretz Yisrael, there was a Shaila. Very rare to have a four-bedroom apartment. Right? Dirabat Arba Chadarim. So it's not so common. And one goes for sale, and the neighbor wants to buy it. And this guy has a lot of kids. He can't fit into a three-bedroom, and he can't find any other four-bedroom apartments. This is the Shaila brought up to the Bezin over there. So what would be the case over there? Which Yashav HaTov will what's it called? Will trump. Okay? We'll pick that up next week.
Is it all personalized?
Like,